Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Wednesday, November the 20th, day number 324 of 2019. And this is our 181st airing here at the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. You can, of course, follow us live online at our website, rcistlucia.com, as well as our Facebook live feed. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International and please like and share that as well with your friends. And on today's menu in the Lunchroom, for the dish of the day, I'll be speaking a little bit about the Distress Fund and what's in, whether it's about publicity or charity. And I'll also be speaking about St. Jude Hospital's new wing development. Is it good or is it bad? And I'll be getting a perspective from an architect. I'll be speaking with Mr. Mark Hennicott. Now, a few birthday wishes for November the 20th go out to Mr. Neil Leos, Miss Yana McLean, Miss Chrissy Laura, Mr. Reno Alphonse, Mr. Taj Weeks, Miss Felicia Pierre, Mr. Timothy Albert, Miss Vanjie Charles, and Miss Cecilia Laura. A wonderful happy birthday to you, to everybody who's celebrating their birthdays today. May you be blessed, especially with health and happiness in the year to come. And of course, if you do have your own birthday wishes which you'd like to send out, you can do so via Lunchroom. Lunchroom at rcistlucia.com is the email, so just send us a note. And it would have also been the birthday of former Canadian Prime Minister Wilfrid Laurier, as well as former U.S. President John F. Kennedy and American astronomer Edwin Hubble. And just a very bit of quick bits of history for today. It's the 72nd anniversary of the marriage of Queen Elizabeth II and the Duke of Edinburgh. And they were married in 1947, Philip Mountbatten, to Princess Elizabeth at Westminster Abbey in London. In 1984, today, I believe McDonald's was supposedly selling its 50 billionth hamburger. And in 1992, at one of the Queen's castles in England, Windsor Castle, fire breaks out and badly damaging that hundreds-year-old castle, costing over $50 million worth of damage. And now we move to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Come get your tiles. We have tiles. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Cass Street, Bossejoux, Grosley, and Clark Street in VFO. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And thank you for listening to us here at Radio Caribbean International. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. of The Lunchroom. Now, today is International Children's Day, as was mentioned in the news, November the 20th. And certainly, I believe it is very apt for us to look at children's issues just very briefly. Of course, I know there were a number of different activities being organized by the Ministry of Education in particular. There were marches and activities having children on the streets and ensuring that their voices were heard regarding issues of children's rights. And indeed, we do need a more child-friendly St. Lucia at home, at school, in the community, in nature, and everywhere, as well as, of course, even in other facilities like child-friendly hospitals. There is certainly a demand for better child care facilities. There's a great level of research that has been done that shows that early childhood development is a critical and necessary investment to ensure that children and the outcomes of their entire lives are bettered through early childhood development. So it's particularly between the ages of 0 and 5. And so It is of great concern when parents cannot access good childcare. And we know that the reality is that when parents work late at night, whether they're working in hotels or other restaurants and tourism-related, in the tourism-related sector, they are certainly, the result is that children are placed at greater risk and they're the ones who become more vulnerable. And so we certainly need to advocate for that. There was, I think, in terms of even promoting that whole idea of universal early childhood education is certainly something that we need to look at. Of course, the other reality is that demographically, we are an aging society. We are becoming that aging society, just as a number of the other developed countries around the world have already started experiencing. The reality is that when I was born back in 1984, there were about 4,400 births. And currently, I think in 2018, it was only about 2,300 or so births. So it's nearly half of what it used to be about 35 years ago. So certainly it means that in terms of people actually wanting to have children, that is certainly a major issue that we have to look at as a society to induce or entice individuals to ensure that it can become a lot more affordable and attractive for individuals to actually go out there and have children. Remember, the replacement rate is 2.1. For a family. So certainly not sure where we're at in terms of the current rate, but it doesn't look like we're heading in the right direction. So happy International Children's Day to all. And now we're going to end at this point, and when we come back, we'll be discussing St. Jude Hospital, the design of that new wing.
This has been The Daily Dish.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossy Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Now, of course, you would have appreciated that we have been paying quite close attention to exactly what is going on with the St. Jude Hospital reconstruction project. September the 9th of this year marked 10 years since that ill-fated fire down at St. Jude in Cantonment VA4. And certainly it has been a very, very long and difficult journey, particularly for people in the South, as well as the service providers, the people who actually work, medical professionals, nurses, doctors, nursing aides, all those people who provide support services at St. Jude Hospital, which is now currently located at the George Odlum National Stadium. We have seen quite a bit of work done over the past 10 years. And when we thought that we were at the finishing line regarding the St. Jude Hospital, it seems that somebody has decided to press that reset button on St. Jude Hospital. The project came to a stop on July the 15th of 2016. There was then a $1 million technical audit, which was undertaken by a local firm. Coming out of that report, from all indications, it was not suggesting in any way that there was a need to abandon St. Jude Hospital. But we even heard from pronouncements from ministers responsible that the plan was to go ahead and to do a phased move into St. Jude Hospital. And now we've heard that the new decision is to go the route of building a brand new wing. And depending on who we're listening to at what time, it seems to be quite a massive structure. And it seems to be, it will probably be a very costly structure at that. Now, to have that conversation, looking at that whole situation of St. Jude, where it was at between 2009 and 2016, and then what happened subsequently to this and the plans for this new wing, I'm very pleased to have in studio with me Mr. Mark Hennicott, and he is a professional architect for a number of years, has worked on a number of projects all around St. Lucia and outside of St. Lucia as well, and he's got both public and private sector experience. Mr. Hennicott, thank you very much for joining us here again in the lunchroom, your second time here.
Well, thank you very much, Calix, for having me back, and to your listeners and your viewers, I wish them a warm afternoon as well.
Now, Mark, about $98 million was spent, we were told, in St. Jude up until about 2016. Yeah. And we are now being told that a new wing is going to be constructed for about that same amount of money. It seems very confusing for a lot of people as to why the government has decided to go in this direction. And in particular, the suggestion is that the facility, St. Jude Hospital facility, simply did not meet the mark as it pertained to being a hospital. What do you think about that statement?
Well, I listened to the Minister of Economic Development recently, and I was taken aback with what some of what I heard, because I think essentially he's saying that 90% of what remains of what the audit was done for in late 2016 and was subsequently released partially amounts to an acceptance that the facility can be used, except for two smaller buildings, as he disclosed. Everything else seems to be intact.
I think we actually have that clip. I'm not sure. Maybe we could actually play that clip at this point in time, where the minister is in fact saying, trying to justify the demolition of the dialysis building as well as the physiotherapy building, two buildings on the south side of that site. Yes. And I think he is right. I think that is the clip indeed. Yes. On the demolition works. Let's listen to Mr. Guy Joseph. And that's a clip which came out just this month, on the 15th of this month, where he is, in fact, indicating that only two of the buildings need to be demolished.
That's right.
The Minister for Economic Development, Guy Joseph, whose ministry has the responsibility for the St. Jude Hospital project, confirmed Friday that two of the recently completed buildings will be demolished. Minister Joseph says the two buildings do not fit into the revised plans for St. Jude Hospital and were found to be structurally unsound. However, he says reports of a major demolition exercise on the St. Jude Hospital site are not consistent with the reality on the ground.
90% of the buildings remain. From what I know, is just two structures, two of the smaller structures that would be impacted with any form of demolition. So the concept that St. Jude is being demolished, that's not the case. There are two of the buildings that were problematic. And these are the buildings that are being addressed as far as demolition is concerned. Everything else remains.
Minister Joseph says though the government was heavily criticized for the delay in the resumption of the construction of the hospital, he is confident that its new vision will be appreciated.
I think we have been very heavily criticized for stopping the work at St. Jude. Now I want to hear what is being said, because the work is in full progress now. The implementation, everybody will have an opportunity over the next year to assess the capacity of the government to deliver on projects when the government is out working.
But are there approved plans by the Development Control Authority for the ongoing works at the St. Jude Hospital? News Force contacted the DCA office for answers and was told that the head of the department and the deputy were out of office. No one could confirm that there were approved plans for the project. NewsForce then turned to the architectural section, still little by way of answers. However, one officer confirmed that the department was not aware of any approved plans and would normally know if such plans existed. The government then, it appears, is flouting its own regulations on a significant project.
We were criticized for stopping the work. Yes, we stopped the work to plan properly and to execute properly. And now what we are seeing is what we were planning is now materializing in the work happening on the ground.
The government, in its quest to complete this high-profile project, stands accused of cutting corners and breaking the very laws of the land that govern not only the construction, but also the demolition works being undertaken at the St. Jude Hospital reconstruction site. The previous administration was also accused of flouting the planning regulations in the reconstruction of the St. Jude Hospital. Stanley Lucien for the HTS News Force.
Right, and that was just from a few weeks ago, in fact, Mr. Joseph there indicating that two structures are being demolished because they do not fit into the revised plan of St. Jude Hospital. Very interesting situation, yep, though, that so two structures are being demolished, about 6,000 square feet in total.
Yep.
But really and truly, the new wing is really replacing two other structures, which is the east wing and the surgical wing. And these are the main parts of that hospital, in the region of about, I think, 80,000 square feet of floor space in those two wings combined.
Areas. Yes, 78,000.
But he's not saying anything about those structures being demolished.
It's interesting because there are two aspects to that report. One having to do with space, and the other, timing. And I think that if we put it in context, up to 2016, mid-2016, you had 166,000 square feet of space, built space, gross area. The minister at the time of the visit of the Taiwanese president, he disclosed that an additional 140,000 square feet is going to be constructed. Those two buildings, the therapy and the dialysis building, amount to about 6,000 square feet. So 166,000 less 6 adds
right.
a total 60,000
square feet still there, left of
left
space.
There. Now you add 140,000 square feet of space to that. You have a gross area of 300,000 square feet.
Assuming that his figures are correct.
Yes, that's right. And then you think now of the amount of time it took to get to where you were at, with 160,000 square feet of space, in which the envelope of the building was really there. You did some lateral expansion, and you built some new buildings. But you are really talking about having to build, construct, fit out furniture, fixtures, equipment, commission, and then operationalize 160,000 plus an additional 140,000, 300,000 square feet of space. When you consider the length of time it has taken to get to where you're at, and there was no revenue stream to drive it, like was in the case of OKEU, it begs so many other questions. Now, I think also the minister trivializes what needs to go into the design of a hospital. And if we consider what went into the development of OKEU by comparison, if the minister had indicated that the existing site of the St. Jude Hospital reconstruction project was going to be cordoned off, condemned, not used, and this 140,000 square feet of space would be a standalone, brand new hospital, I would have no problem with accepting what he said, and even the time frame within which that development of the design has taken place. So you have a design stage that ensued to where construction started perhaps 2 weeks ago.
Now, the question, of course, also being raised in that clip is the whole issue of approved plans. And that has come up again.
Perhaps 2 weeks ago.
Now, the question, of course, also being raised in that clip. is all issue of approved plans. And that has come up again. Funny enough, the minister went all about indicating that the original St. Jude had no approved plans. But from what our through government control authority is that as of now, there is still no full approval for this project. However, what they have done, which is a very interesting decision by the DCA, is that they have given approval for the structural elements only. What do you make of that situation where a development control authority is effectively only approving, you know, the skeleton of the body of a hospital?
Well, it begs again, Calix.
Are they bending the rules in that
absolutely,
instance?
Absolutely, because you are fast-tracking a critical design stage and you are rushing into construction. Invariably, you will be designing as you build. And given what is happening here now, where you don't have buildings to add to, but you are building from scratch, you are going to take an inordinate amount of time.
Is that normal, though, for a hospital to be designed in that way, that you're only designing, you've got an approval for the shell, but you've actually not determined issues like adjacency, where your mechanical and electrical lines are running, your airflow, ventilation? Is that normal for...
That is not normal. In fact, you take an approach, if the first phase, which was the reconstruction project, was in place, operationalized, then you can look at that as an expansion, a wing development, and that happens all the time. But you have neither, and you're really adding to what you already have. That is not, it doesn't constitute a hospital, because invariably, as I say, a hospital is not four walls, a roof, and a floor. It absolutely has more to it, and if we only just consider what happened with OKEU, where you have a large gestation period of design, I would have expected, as the Prime Minister has disclosed,
I mean, this that is an important... Almost, it was nearly 5 years in the making in terms of the whole design,
the design
development
phase
for,
design. Yes.
OKEU.
Yeah, typically a project of that nature, a social project of that nature, has like five stages. You have a briefing stage. Then you have a design stage, and design can be preliminary design, then detailed design. Then you have a construction documentation development stage. You'll be developing the working drawings. Then you would have a procurement stage where you are now seeking to get contractors, suppliers, specialist persons to bid for certain aspects of the work. And then you have a construction stage and then a commissioning stage. So, if, like I was saying, if the minister had said up to the construction stage, they had used up 3.5 years, 42 months thereabout, to get to construction, then I would have no argument if it was a standalone building and you are not going to be making mention anything whatsoever about the original St. Jude. I would also not have an issue if in that space of time you would, for instance, have appointed or what would be on a project of that nature, a steering committee. A technical committee, the two, one dealing with policy, another dealing with technical issues, then you would have appointed
As was the case under the original St. Jude Hospital Reconstruction
Project, where
the Board of Management of St. Jude was involved as an oversight committee guiding the process.
And you had these technical persons plugging in on a regular basis to interface with policy and operations. You can't neglect the persons who, in fact, they were at St. Jude, they were relocated, and they're looking forward to return. So they certainly have a certain amount of institutional knowledge that they can bring to that or inform the design. So you need then to bring them in at a very early stage. And they form themselves, the hospital and its team, administration, and all the consultants, medical, then surgical, nursing, ancillary staff, are formed into user groups and sub-user groups to inform levels of the design, especially spatial planning.
But the minister is saying that
nursing ancillary staff are formed into user groups and sub-user groups to inform levels of the design, especially spatial planning.
But the minister is saying that the government is planning properly and executing properly.
Yeah, and I believe him. But he should be pointing out to us who is your check consultant? That check consultant can double as your accreditation consultant. Mm-hmm. Who is your health planner? Who is guiding the process? Who is your hospital architect? Who is who are your user groups? And at what stage are they coming in, or are you consulting them through a series of consultations to inform the design? And then this leads to critical information. Who has prepared your functional area schedules? Who has prepared your room data schedules, which invariably will be what you determine equipment from? You remember, you have a new hospital, so what obtained in the old hospital, not even equipment, can apply. Who has looked at adjacency scheduling so that you are not going to be duplicating the requirement for manpower or for equipment, so that you have departmental adjacency scheduling allowing for you to utilize equipment efficiently? And then who is also doing your cost planning? This project needs to be the plan for this project in terms of cost from day one. You have to manage it. Who is doing that?
There's a certain irony in this whole process of dealing with St. Jude. If we go back as far as April of 2010, in the budget address by Stephenson King, Prime Minister and Minister of Finance at the time, mm-hmm. he actually said that the project was going to cost $2 million and was going to be finished in 6 months.
But that was when they were doing the surgical,
right.
rehabilitation.
And then, of course, the project has kept on growing and growing and growing. We're now being told that the project is, well, there's a figure of $30 million or $35 million. It doesn't seem that there is, in fact, a very clear idea as to what that cost even represents. Is that just the structure? Is that equipment? What does that represent?
Well, the information that you have as having insufficient information, and the information that guides that process is the development of designs. Departmental spatial planning will start to ask what you have as having insufficient information, and the information that guides that process is the development of designs. Departmental spatial planning will start to ask questions as, who is going to manage that department? How much manpower do you have? What equipment do you have? Are you looking for accreditation for that department and not necessarily the whole hospital? Then you start to overlay costs, like what Joachim was starting to speak to yesterday. But I think is graphical. But you have now to look at costs down to the departmental level for construction and for operations.
Mark, let's just take a very quick break for our weather news, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I want to get into the new wing in particular, yeah, and the potential issues, technical issues, right, regarding right. Regarding the new wing.
Sure.
Christmas.
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway, or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas, come and get your Fritas, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat.
So are you mad? What you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably got a little money.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cash Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Call 452-450 or 453-TILE.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264, or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
The latest weather report is as of 12 noon today, the 20th of November 2019. The forecast of the Sahizi Francis. Present weather at Huronora is cloudy with showers nearby, and at George Charles it is cloudy. The present temperature at Huronora, 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Last night's minimum temperature at Huronora was 25 degrees Celsius or 77 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind at Huronora is blowing from the south at 13 miles per hour or 20 kilometers. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., only a trace of rainfall was recorded at Huronora. At George Charles, 8.1 millimeters was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far, 93.8 millimeters at Huronora and 67.4 millimeters at George Charles. The sun will set today 28 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at 6 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, southeast and the south near 13 miles per hour or 20 kilometers, becoming lighter and variable at times. And the weather, partly cloudy skies, becoming cloudy at times with scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy in some locations. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east, southeast and the south near 13 miles per hour or 20 kilometers, becoming lighter and variable at times. Weather, partly cloudy skies, becoming cloudy at times with scattered showers, some of which may be moderate to heavy in some locations. Now we take a look at the marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Tides for the Castries Harbor, the low tide will be at 2 minutes before 4 this afternoon and high tide will be at 10:30 tonight. And for the Vierfort Bay, the low tide at 25 after 5 this afternoon. High tide will be at 23 minutes before 12 midnight. The seas are moderate. The waves are 4 to 6 feet, the same as 1.2 to 1.8 meters in open waters. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy skies, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms. And the tropical weather outlook, moisture and instability in the lower atmosphere around the eastern Caribbean region will cause some showery periods and possibly isolated thunderstorms over the islands during the next 24 hours. And at 11 a.m. today, the center of Tropical Storm Sebastian was located near latitude 21.1 north, longitude 61.7 west, or about 220 miles or 355 kilometers north-northeast of the northern Windward Islands. Sebastian is moving toward the west near 7 miles per hour or 11 kilometers, and a turn to the northeast with an increase in forward speed is expected tonight and Thursday. The maximum sustained winds are near 50 miles per hour or 85 kilometers with higher gusts. Sebastian is forecast to remain over the open Atlantic Ocean and is not expected to pose a direct threat to our region. And we do have another tropical wave over the central tropical Atlantic, which is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. That is our official weather report at this hour. Join us again in the morning, 6:30. Our next report is due from the Met Service. Thank you, E. Francis, for the update at this time. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, free tires! Come and get your free tires here! We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Mart!
So are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too! So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tires are!
Free tires, free tires! Ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cash Trees, and Lotoni, View 4. Call 452-450-453. Tire.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264. 4450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
Right, and welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, we're powered by Navita Designs. This is Christmas coming up, so please check them out at Vibute at Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Now, I'm discussing with Mr. Mark Hennicott the whole issue of St. Jude Hospital, looking at a brand new wing. Is it a good idea or is it a bad one? And Mark, we haven't really gotten a chance to actually get a sense as to what exactly is in that new wing. I think we have a clip from Mr. Guy Joseph at the sword turning ceremony where he's sort of describing what is being built at St. Jude Hospital. Maybe we can listen to him very quickly and then comment on that.
The St. Jude reconstruction project will deliver a 90-bed facility that will cater for both inpatient and outpatient services. The project will involve the construction of a new wing to incorporate all functions and services of the existing east and surgical wings of the existing facility. Integration through retrofitting of some of the existing buildings to achieve a fully functioning hospital to match the services of a level 4 facility. And also revision of the internal layout of the buildings to be integrated for functional compliance and minimum standards. Now, it is important for us to understand this. Because of the level of expenditure, we could not abandon the existing buildings. So what we decided is to see what kind of services can be integrated. So areas like the kitchen, the laundry, the storage, and a number of other components of the existing building will be connected to the new wings that are being built so that we can use as much of the facility as possible and put to good use the resources that have been used on the existing structure. The hospital will provide a total area of 13,232 square meters. And for those of you who may want to do the conversion, you can just multiply that by 11 for easy calculation, or 10. So we would be in the region of 145,000 square feet of new building space when the new St. Jude facility is completed. It would include five blocks. Block C would include the pharmacy, dental, accident and emergency, diagnostic imagery, maternity, staff terrace, national intensive care unit, intensive care unit, not national but neonatal, intensive care unit, intensive care unit, operating theater, and general accesses. So that is in Block C. Block D, ophthalmology, waiting area, primary care, children and adolescent counseling, triage, gynecology ward, and medical wards. Block E, accident and emergency, on-call accommodation, non-communicable disease, social services, security office, minor surgery, and pediatric ward. Block F, diagnostic imagery, clinical labs, waiting area, central sterile services department, surgical ward, and so forth. And Block G would be the main reception area. So in the new areas that we are building, these are the areas that will be accommodated in the new blocks that are being built. The rest would be fitted into the existing structures that are there.
And that was Mr. Guy Joseph, the Minister for Economic Development, speaking at the sword-turning ceremony held with the Taiwanese president back in July of this year at the site at St. Jude Hospital, indicating that it's the same 90-bed facility, effectively, that we're going to be getting out of St. Jude, but that the replacement large of this new wing is to replace the east and west wing, and surgical wing, sorry. Yes. And from what I can see here, the east wing is about 38,800 square feet, the surgical wing about 36,784, a grand total of about 75,627 square feet. And he's talking about this 145,000 square foot facility, new development. Now, again, I don't know that his figure is correct or not, but that's what we're working with. It's a little bit strange, don't you think, the approach in this instance? That, first, because we're not even hearing as to what is going to happen with the existing east and surgical wing.
Yeah. Given what we can deduce from social media and some of the images that the government and some of the ministers are posting out to their social timelines, you get a sense that this new wing or cluster of buildings is going to be south of everything that has already been supplanted on that site and ordered up, so that the buildings are going to be serviced. And currently inside, there's water treatment, there's standby generation, there's oxygen generation, there's sewage treatment, and the lot, all that goes into it. So that facility, that organism of a hospital, is expected to perform, especially in the event of an emergency, before, during, and in the immediate aftermath of disaster. So it must stand alone when all other services are down.
Now let's talk about that spatial planning, because one of the issues that was interestingly raised against the hospital, the St. Jude Hospital, was that it was too spaced out.
Yes.
And it appears that it's going to be even more spaced out with this current configuration of the new wing to the south of the existing structures.
Not just more spaced out. I think it breaks up in a very, very unfortunate way the order that had been set up by the last design.
Right.
And St. Jude Hospital started as a community hospital. Essentially, it remains a community hospital tucked away in the foothills of Beaufort to serve the Beaufort community. So the quality of care that was being given there was not just the health care by the professionals and the equipment that they have availed themselves to. But the setting was important. It had a garden setting. It was greenery. Now, over the years, you found that what you may call urban sprawl started to encroach on its boundaries, but the building still remained in the center. The important health and medical service areas remained to the center of it. So it was insulated by all the other services around. What has happened now, and what we can deduce, is that you are now taking the core parts of a hospital and exposing them to the peripheral point.
So in other words, it's closer to the road.
Closer everything. To the road, right. Closer to the noise, closer to intrusion. A hospital yeah. really needs to be a safe space, mm-hmm. right? But more importantly, that site had been reduced by almost 6 feet. And immediately, that lowest part of the site is
so
where...
So you're talking about in terms of elevation?
The elevation now, of the site.
And you rightfully said that in terms of the overall planning, for those of you who may not be familiar with the site, it slopes from north to south.
Yes.
So even
and
in terms
down
of,
into the V of the...
Right. Area. And so the water storage was to the northern extremity of the site. And so it was gravity fed down into the facility. And then wastewater was lower down to the right. So, and what are we now seeing with this new structure is effectively, could we even say that they're building the new wing in the Sokaway area?
That area was designated for a car park, below which was the tile field for
the wastewater.
Now it has been reduced, and it is below the wastewater treatment plant level.
Right.
So anything that is going to be collected at that platform has to be lifted to the treatment plant. Otherwise, the treatment plant will have to be relocated. So it makes it for someone like me understanding the site planning there. It begs another set of questions in terms of servicing of that site.
Then the proximity, I've realized as well, of the sewage plant to this new structure.
That's right.
It certainly is very, very close.
Very close to it. Very close to it. And you mentioned the question of noise. A hospital depends on these intangible elements for caring and outlook, view, you know, temperature, sound, and not necessarily noise. These intangibles, other than the hard elements of construction, that are therapeutic in nature. I think what we're going to have is something very stark. And when we consider that it's going to be oriented around a courtyard, 5 buildings, I consider that courtyard very restrictive, almost to the point of encroaching on privacy. The privacy that is required from ward to ward, from building to building, will not be afforded to persons who are coming or seeking health care in that space. It also will allow for heavy reverberation of sound. So it can be a noisy space. It can be a hot space if you have improper cross ventilation. I just think that
But as far as we know, was there any design review done in terms of the art? We don't know.
Of design, I am not certain. But okay. I'm saying, given the amount of time that has been expended since the decision was made to rebuild, I am trusting that everything has been done. All the checks and balances are in place. And when you consider the criticism in the body of the technical report, some critical things, like you just mentioned, DCA control, would have to be an important element in decision-making.
There's been quite a bit said about the eastern and surgical wings, and somehow they can be repurposed. They're better suited for a school, I think was mm-hmm. said by the Minister for Health. It was repeated and defended by the Prime Minister the Prime Minister's father, Mr. Michael Shastney, saying that he in fact had wanted to introduce a medical school in that area. Do you really think that is an easy transition from a facility that was built as a hospital, which clearly would have had certain facilities and design considerations already built into it, to now being used as a medical school?
I think it will require for a very, very serious look as to how the two will harmonize in that site, a school and a healthcare facility. It's really not as we would expect a teaching hospital. It's different. Mm-hmm. The mindset of the people of the South is still that this is their community hospital. and how you're going to separate these two functions will be interesting. But what's more important, though, is that if you're going to use there as a institution of learning, you are going to have to attract a certain level or caliber of staff and students. And I'm taking it that we're talking about international students. You then have to ask the question about dormitories and staff quarters and how these two will work in proximity, even within the whole of the Ouji, St. Jude, La Ressource area where they can live. But then you are now talking about an increase in demand for all the services in that area, including transportation. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a hub.
But it seems very wasteful as well, though, if you put in medical gas lines, things that would not really necessarily be utilized for a medical school, so to speak, which is really just classrooms when you think of it at the end of the day, and maybe a few labs. But it still does not seem to be very congruent.
Well, somebody's not paying attention to that and treating it as we have seen in some of the video footage, that windows have already been removed from these buildings and the roofing has been taken down. Presumably they'll be reused elsewhere. They have salvage value. But one can imagine that if that type of thinking transcends the approach to using the building, then it would mean nothing to strip down all these services that are already built into there.
We heard yesterday from Mr. Joachim Henry indicating that, you know, on average a hospital, you're speaking about over $1,000 per square foot. Of cost. Mm-hmm. I think for the Owen King EU Hospital, it came down to about $1,100 EC dollars per square foot. With a facility like this as being proposed, 145,000 square feet, according
which
to
is upward of
Mr. Guy Joseph, the figures don't seem to match from what he's saying and the amount that the Prime Minister is saying is going to be expended, which would be about $95 million. Dollars.
Yeah, well, again, between the time the Minister for Economic Development at the time of the sod turning ceremony disclosed 145,000 square feet of space, and now based on his schedule out, it is amounting to almost 78,000 to 80,000 square feet of space. You already have a disparity there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we account for it. Maybe the duplication of space or the use of other buildings has been accounted for twice. I don't know. I really...
And maybe it should be accounted for twice, because there's been no indication as to what is the cost of retrofitting the east and surgical wing being proposed.
Yes. But, Calix, the unfortunate thing in all of this is 145 or 80,000 square feet of space to connect to the existing infrastructure that is in place, to have it built, fitted out, commissioned, and operationalized so that it can receive patients, even on a phase basis, you are going to have on a knock-on effect of the time that we expect St. Jude to decommission or to be decommissioned from the George Odom Stadium.
We're hearing a lot of promises of, I think, somewhere between a year and 18 months. Do you really think that that is a realistic timeline?
Not given what we are hearing and what we are seeing, they are clearly designing as they build.
On the go.
And, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think we need a bit more information to appreciate what is happening. But 2 years is kind of difficult.
There's also been no indication of the finalizing of financing. At one point, we were told that the money has been approved. At the last I heard a statement from the Prime Minister, he said approval in principle. So different language there. But what we do know is that nothing has actually come to Parliament for actual approval of any loan. We perhaps don't even know what the loan amount is going to be, it looks like.
For those of us who do project management, that project cycle, the three components in it, time, cost, and scope, we really can't put a finger on which one is moving, which one is stagnant. I think scope is a critical area in this particular project, and cost has a knock-on effect, or scope has a knock-on effect on cost. All that we are aware of and that is being provided to us is still very, very sketchy. We are very, very... I'm at a loss as to what is happening.
Mark, could you also share with us your opinion about hospital costs? with respect to what really goes into a hospital. Some people are looking at us and that somehow represents, and in fact, some sort of a great achievement.
Yeah.
How much of a hospital really depends on just the structure, the civil structure, or is there a lot more that has to go into a hospital?
Well, it starts with what services that you offer, invariably what level of hospital mm-hmm. that you're aiming and the services you're aiming to provide. And that would be your space availability, equipment, and personnel, medical, surgical, ancillary, nursing staff. And then there's the other hidden component of the guarantees that you would want to give so that your equipment has to be warranted. And warranties come with a cost.
And by guarantees, you're also perhaps talking about redundancies in your design, ceilings that you must have, backup generators,
hospitals,
water storage for a certain amount.
When you start moving upwards from a level four, which is level four in our estimation, which I still understand as being that hospital that will do up to minor surgery and anything major thereafter will be referred up to a level five, maybe an OKU or some of the services that Tapio would offer currently on island. So When you think of that, you are asking to what extent then you have equipment, you have staff, and you have space, and you can deliver that type of service, and who it is that you can attract to utilize those services. Can you understand when the situation that currently exists with VH, where you can instill fear in prospective patients, and they would avoid going there. You want to create an atmosphere where people moving out of George Odlam Stadium are moving into premises that are better, not worse. And even if you have all the equipment, Calix, and you have all the space, and you don't have staff to man it, you don't have a hospital. And concretely, if you don't have the equipment, but you have the space and the staff, you still don't have a hospital.
But it seems as we had the space. It seems as if we had space in terms of
there was
140,000 odd square feet of space.
Yes.
Was it really impossible if they the government wanted to say, look, we really don't like the internal layout of the east wing and the surgical wing. Let's completely redo that. Would that still not have been a cheaper option than going to seemingly spend $100 million, if not more, into this new wing?
It absolutely would have been a cheaper option, but I think that the level of criticism that had been leveled on the project and those persons who were involved with the project was getting to the point where it would open itself up to litigation. Because when you consider that the healthcare, the body that was involved with assisting with the planning and eventually getting accreditation, they were involved from day one. To bring them into disrepute by suggesting that the whole hospital, not just one aspect that was going into arbitration, but the entire design was being drawn into question, that you are really setting yourself up as a government, and anybody who made those pronouncements, setting yourself up to have to determine, you know, on an individual basis or collectively, what about this hospital that you are suggesting that we have done badly or wrong. And I think that that the real out was made when someone or no one came forward and suggesting put an end to this early enough. You have a design. If you have concerns about any aspect, deal with it through arbitration or whatnot, but continue the work. But you stopped the work 3.5 years, and now you're not suggesting that you had, as you had done before, that you're building a new hospital. You are implying that you are recommencing an existing hospital, and even claiming the hospital name and the project name, recommencing. There was a time it was referred to as a new wing. That's all gone, and we are now recommencing an existing project. What are you saying now to these persons whom you had made these claims against, or individuals, or the whole project team? And I think these are very serious questions moving forward, have to be answered, have to be addressed.
Mark, we're going to have to end it at this point, yes, because we, in fact, are a bit over time. But certainly I'd like to offer you an opportunity to just give us a little wrap-up as to how you see things, in fact, panning out with respect to this new wing.
I am not certain what is going on. It doesn't seem to me that what is going on is going to plug into the bigger picture of provision of healthcare in the south of the island. I am very concerned that, given what is being said and what we see unfolding, that the George Odlum Stadium, on the one hand, for healthcare, is going to be an extended 5 years. And for the sporting facility, they were going to be another five more or 7 years.
You think that's
before
your realistic timeline? Before,
yes,
an
absolutely,
move.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Mark Ennicott. Of course, always a pleasure to have you in, and hopefully we can have you back in, because we really have not even got into quite a bit of the detail regarding St. Jude Hospital. Now, of course, I also forgot to mention that today is the birthday of the Honorable Prime Minister, Alan Chastney. So happy birthday to the Prime Minister. Just a very quick reminder for the St. Joseph's Convent past pupils, there's going to be a mass remembrance for the deceased sisters of St. Joseph of Cluny, and that's going to happen tomorrow, Thursday the 21st of November at 12:30 p.m. So those SJC, former SJC students, please come out to support that. And of course, Climate Crisis, a Call to Action, that's on Friday the 22nd of November from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Finance Administrative Center. And that, of course, is a very interesting bit of afternoon with Dr. Jimmy Fletcher, Kendall Hippolyte, Rowena Haynes, and in fact, just highlighting quite a bit of where we are at in the SIDS, in the Small Island Developing States. So please support that, and that's on Friday. And that's all the time we have for you today at the lunchroom. My apologies that we weren't able to take any calls, but hopefully we can get to do that as the days go by. I'm Calix George Jr. saying goodbye.